Please. Thank you so much for your attention. I know you can smell the food in the back. I'm just kidding. I'll try not to get distracted, and I'll try to be short, and I'll get done when the message is done. I don't know what that means, but let's all stand up, please, and let's open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah. I want you to turn to two passages of Scripture, actually, and one would be in 1 Kings. Be in Isaiah chapter number 40. So, 1 Kings chapter number 19, and let's read verse number 7. I just want to use a line there in the last part of that verse. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 7. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you lied, say I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. But no, I work with Bible college students, so usually they kind of do it fast, and I don't know if that's sword drills, and they get a brownie points for that, but no. But all right, 1 Kings chapter number 19, verse number 7, it talks about Elijah being under the juniper tree. He was having a depression, and he was discouraged. And there's a line there I want to use, kind of like a jumping board for the message, and just thought this illustration here. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time. Boy, aren't you glad for the second time? God doesn't leave you. In every valley, every victory, He is with you in the center of it all. And we should be praising God, whether we're experiencing drought, depression, or we're experiencing plenty and blessings. Hey, God's in the center of it all. And God is with us too. And so God came the second time and touched him. And said, arise and eat. Boy, that's a great verse. And that's a life verse for me, I think. Arise and eat. And God said, you know, I don't know. I'm going to offend some of you right now. I'm not a vegetarian. Okay? I don't know what's wrong with people. There, amen, brother. And the Bible says kill and eat. And you can't draw blood out of a pickle. Hey. But anyway, I don't know. Let's go back to the Bible now. So, hey, just checking if you're a Baptist church, Pastor. But arise and eat. And this is time to get serious. Okay, we're in a serious church now. Come on. Man. Just kidding. Verse number 7, last line. Because the journey, notice now, because the journey is too great for thee. The angel was saying, the angel of the Lord, I believe that was a Christophany, and we would say that in Bible college, a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was God. In the presence of Christ, the angel of the Lord said to the prophet Elijah, get some rest, get some food, because the journey is too great for thee. When you hear that statement, it's kind of, I don't know if you're going to be discouraged or you're going to be encouraged, but in a way, it's an admission that, hey, you need me. You can't go on, you can't go through this life by yourself, by your strength. You got to have my presence. Let's turn to our text this morning, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. I'll read until verse 31, just follow with your eyes. Verse 29, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, he giveth power to the faint. Are you fainting this morning? Are you tired? He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. Verse 31, and this is my text verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What a promise. I'd like to speak this morning for a brief time on finding strength for the journey. I don't know about you, but we're all in a journey, the Christian journey. And there will be times when we'll grow weary and we'll faint. Let's talk about how to find strength for the journey. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you so much this morning for the songs that we've heard and just the messages in those songs. And Lord, I pray, thank you for the Sunday school lesson too, and Lord, our time together and the fellowship that we've had already. I pray that you bless now as we hear from you through your word, and I pray, Lord, that you bless this church and the man of God that you place here, Pastor Bliss, for so many years now serving here as your under-shepherd. I pray that you bless us, Lord, and speak to our hearts. I pray for that one that is lost and not sure that heaven is their home. I pray that today would be the day of salvation. And Lord, I pray that you would bless us now. Help me, give me wisdom. Help me to be an encouragement in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Finding strength for the journey. I don't know about you, but by this time now, this is our third week, approaching our fourth week on tour, and we've traveled from Southern California all up to Pacific Northwest. We were in Seattle just 2 days ago or 3 days ago. We traveled to Prineville, Oregon for 6.5 hours, 6 hours, and then 5.5 hours yesterday. It's quite a journey, folks. And so oftentimes when you get into the middle of your journey, it gets tiresome. You know, you get sleepy, you need coffee. Praise God for coffee, amen. And I'm thanking the Lord that one day he decided to create coffee beans and help me. But anyway, we need strength for the journey, whether that would be energy drinks or vitamins. And I don't know how you find physical strength for the journey, but let me encourage you, in our spiritual walk, we will get weary. We just read a moment ago, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. And it's a fact. It's a truth from the Word of God that as we go on in our journey, we will grow weary. What do we do when times of weariness comes upon our Christian life? The prophet Elijah was depressed and discouraged. Oh, I mean, just a few days back, preacher, we know the account. If you were in Sunday school, we know that he was victorious in Mount Carmel and fire came down and slew the false prophets there. He was victorious, but then again, just a woman, Jezebel, threatening his life, and he ran for his life. He was scared. One preacher said, you know, if he was depressed, he said, Lord, take my life. I want to die now. If he was really serious, all he had to do was just stop running because Jezebel already threatened to kill his life. You see, sometimes when we're depressed and we're going through something, our thought process is not right. And, you know, we focused on the negative things instead of the right things. And sometimes weariness, somebody said, fatigue makes cowards of all of us. You can be so strong right now. You can conquer an army. But when you get tired, when you get weary, when you get discouraged, you run from the smallest matters. That's where we find Elijah this morning, under the juniper tree. But I'm thankful that there's a God in the center of it all, comes to him and encourages him and said, hey, he took care of his physical needs first. He said, get some food. Arise and eat. And then he acknowledged his spiritual need. He said, hey, you need me. The journey is too great for thee. Whatever your age is this morning, you may be a young person just getting ready for college or getting ready for school or high school or elementary, I don't know. Or you're a middle-aged person. I'm not going to define middle-aged, you know. Wherever you are this morning, we need strength for the journey. And whether you think you're strong and young, you can conquer a mountain, or you think you're just, man, I can't take the next step. Let's get strength for the journey. I'm encouraged this morning. Let me give you some thoughts for my introduction. The Christian life is an exciting life. I don't know about you, but I love living the Christian life. And it's not an ordinary life. The Christian life is a supernatural life. I mean, the God of heaven wants to help you. You know, and I understand some people come to church because it's their routine. And I was saved from a religion that was very traditional back in the Philippines. I live in California now, but I was born in the Philippines. And the church that, you know, baptized as a kid, and you know that, and in a traditional church before I got saved. But it was, we went to church just because it was a tradition. You know, we had to go to church, and we had to go to church. We didn't know why, but, you know, our forefathers, my grandparents and their grandparents went to church, and this church wherein you confess your sins to the priest. And so we went to church. And so it was nothing really, nothing's happening there. It was just out of tradition. But I'm glad when I got saved, hey, I realized that, hey, I went to the real church. I went to a church when they preached the Bible. Wherein we're preaching the truth. I'm glad this morning, I often say, I'm glad I'm not in a cult this morning. That what we're doing, hey, God is hearing from us, and we're hearing from God, and we're not worshiping a dead God, an idol. We're here serving and approaching the real God, amen. The Christian life is exciting. I love it. Number two, it is an enduring life. It requires endurance, and we'll get into that. Number three, and this is an encouragement, the Christian life is an empowered life. Hey, this may discourage you, but you can't live the Christian life. You can't. You can't do it. You can try, but you can't. But let me encourage you again. You don't have to. Because God wants to help you live the Christian life. God wants to live with you. God wants to inhabit. God wants to work in your life. You don't have to go through life alone. You don't have to face the office mates, the criticism at work, and the problems by yourself. Are you walking through life just bored? It's like, okay, whatever. I mean, you know, sometimes I talk to young people, say, what's your plan? What are you planning for your life? I don't know, whatever. Yeah. But, dude, there's a holy God, a powerful God living inside of you who wants to do great things in your life. And every day he wants, that's an amazing relationship right there. And that's something that the world doesn't have. And so in times of weariness, he wants to help us. Number one, in verse 28 to verse number 29, we are to rely upon the wonderful. I'll just use the word wonderful for alliteration. And I'm glad his name is wonderful, amen. He has unlimited power. Verse number 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He is omnipotent. Nothing is too hard for God. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. We serve a God this morning whose resources don't run out, who's everlasting, who's strong, who's omnipotent, omniscient, and unchanging God. Isaiah 57, verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. He has unlimited power. You can tap onto his resources this morning. Letter B, he has untouchable perspective. Not only unlimited power, but an untouchable perspective. The Bible says there's no searching of his understanding. And it fascinates me. And we live in a day of technology and information, and just a touch of a button, a click of a button on our phones, we have access to information. And you know, it's easier right now to just Google something. Let me tell you this, sometimes the information that we get can be inaccurate. Have you been there before? You search even Wikipedia sometimes. They have to, you know, rely on other sources. But with God, you know, he has unlimited understanding. There's no searching. You can't Google God's understanding. He's not limited by man's limitations. God has unlimited understanding. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. I'm glad this morning that I serve a God who I don't understand. Sometimes he does things that makes me scratch my head. You know, I'm glad that God is that way. Because if I understood everything about God, then I would be God myself. I'm glad I could just go to God and say, I don't understand that. I don't think that should be done that way. Because of my finite understanding, I think it should be this way. But you're God, I'm man. You're God, I'm made out of dust. I trust you. And I think that's a good thing. When we can trust God, he has untouchable perspective. Romans chapter 11, I want to show this verse. Let's turn there. Romans 11, 33. And we're just going to go to the Word of God this morning. Is that okay? Romans chapter 11, verse number 33. The Bible says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God." Let me read that again. "Oh, the depth of the riches of both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments." Boy, I love that. Have you ever been there wherein you question God? Like, why is this? I guess that's normal. You know, with our finite minds, we come to a place wherein, hey, I don't understand why that is. But God, hey, God's understanding is unsearchable. And his ways, notice this, his ways are past finding out. Somebody once said, "Did it ever dawn on you that nothing ever dawned on God? Nothing catches him by surprise. Nothing is an accident. You know, there's no such thing as an uh-oh with God. It doesn't, you know, you don't, there are no hiccups with God, so to speak. He knows all, and I'm glad about that. I'm glad that God is that way." Hudson Taylor said, "Difficulties afford opportunities for learning God's faithfulness, which otherwise we should not have. It gives me great comfort," Taylor said, "to remember that the work is his and that he knows how to best carry on and is infinitely more interested in it than we are." You know, God cares about you more than pretty much you care about yourself sometimes. And sometimes we figure out, "Lord, what's your will upon the matter?" And God just wants us to kind of just surrender and yield to him. And D.L. Moody, I think, said, "If you want to make God laugh, tell him your best plans. Lord, I plan to do this, and this is my strategy right now. This is where I'm going." And God says, "That's it. I got greater plans for you." You know, sometimes we offer God a laundry list of, "This is my plan, my strategy for the new year, my New Year's resolutions." And God said, "Hey, just surrender to me. Just report for duty. I got it all figured out." I'm glad I serve a God like that. Amen. And we can look through the future, the new decade, and say, "God, it's yours. I'm right here. Use me. I'm not much, but everything I have, everything I am, it's yours." And God is pleased by that. And in the weariness of life, let's remember God's untouchable perspective. Psalm 147, verse 5, "Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite." Not only that, not only untouchable perspective, but he has unlimited provision. Notice verse number 29 of our text, Isaiah chapter number 40. "He gives power to the faint." Power to the faint. You know, you don't have to twist God's arm, so to speak. God says, the Bible says in James 1, 5, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God." You know, God is not a stingy God. I'm glad about that. You know, if you go to your prayer closet and talk to God, even under your breath, he wants to give you something. The sad thing about the world we live in and Christianity in general, if you're saved, sometimes we live beneath our privileges. Let me say that again. Most of the Christians live in this world underneath the potential that God has for them. We try to live the Christian life by our own strength. And God says, "Wait, you're missing out. I have unlimited resources for you. You don't have to stay depressed. You don't have to stay bored. You don't have to live an unexciting life. Hey, I love going to church. I tell the guys here, I tell some, my Sunday school there in the college, hey, I'm going to be serving God. My goal is to serve God the rest of my life. I'm going to have fun while I'm doing it." Amen. And there's no use. And I think Dr. Shetler would often say, watch out and listen to what guys laugh at and how they have fun. Because a guy's or a young person's laughter tells a lot about them. And a person's laughter tells about a lot of us in general. And sometimes we come to church and we love church. And I'm glad to be in a church where, hey, we're singing the songs and we're loving it here. But that's not always the case. And we come to church focused on the Word of God and having fun. And that tells a lot about you, that you're hey, I love serving the Lord, and that's great. But oftentimes the reality of it, hey, you know what, we get weary. Let's go back to the Word of God. Hey, He gives power to the faint, and He increases strength. The Bible says, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. That signifies enablement, increased usefulness. And it seems here that God wants to give us the strength that we need. Are we weary? Are we heavy-hearted? The song says, tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. And what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Isaiah 41, verse number 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And God wants to strengthen you this morning. Whatever it is that you're facing, whatever trials or tragedies, there's a God that wants to strengthen you in all things through Christ. Number one, I said we rely upon the wonderful. Number two, and I already talked about it a little bit, we see the reality of our weakness. In verse number 30, it's a fact. Human power, we will faint. Psalm 39, verse 5, behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Psalm 33, verse number 16, a mighty man is not delivered by much strength. We were in a school chapel this week in the Seattle area, and we were kind of playing tag football, and we had fun. And I was one, surprisingly, I used to be a younger guy, and I'm still young, by the way. And so we were playing with high schoolers and the college guys. I was like, and then I was paired up with a guy that was older than me, probably 5 years, 6 years older than me. And we were just joking around. We were on the side, and the younger guys were running around and, you know, playing tag football. And he was like, hey, Josh, watch this. Watch, I'm going to show you a movie. It was like he was from Australia, so he had an Australian accent. He was like, hey, I'm going to show you a spin move. And so he did a spin. He kind of ran around there, did a spin, and I teased him about it. I said, hey, that's right, Brother Damien. That's a slow motion highlight for me. The way he turned, he kind of, man, that was so slow. And I kind of teased him about it. And we're just two, the older guys were in the side, kind of just doing their own thing. I was like, man, I can't run with these kids. They're like high schoolers, and, you know, that's the reality of life. You know, I don't wake up in the morning. I get resurrected in the morning. It's like, but I'm not there yet. When you wake up, there's snap, crackle, and pop. I'm not there yet, okay? So it doesn't, you know, this. But I'm not trying. Somebody might get offended. But it's coming, that's right. But that's the reality of life, you know. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 talks about that. And physically, we're going to get weary, and life will come. And we will lose strength. And we'll not have, I'm not going to have the strength of youth forever. And I work with Dr. Jim Shetler, his assistant in the dean's office. And he's 62 years old, but he acts like he's 32. You know, runs around. He got a double knee replacement a year ago, January. And 2 weeks later, he was traveling and preaching. I was like, what in the world? You know, and that was a miracle, too. He was crying. I don't know if I should tell this story, but he was crying. He was really scared. I was like, Doc, are you going to preach? He said, no, I have to cancel like 2 months of my meetings. And then I went to the Philippines for a mission trip, and then I found out on live stream, oh, wow, he was preaching at Lancaster Baptist Church like 5 days after the knee replacement. But, you know, I don't know if I'm going to get strength like that when I'm his age. But the reality is, you know, there's weakness there. The young man shall utterly fall. The youth shall faint and be weary. Well, I love this promise. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There is a renewal for those that would wait. Recognize our weakness. But there is a renewal for those that will wait upon the Lord. What does it mean to wait upon the Lord? to just sit still. We live in a world wherein there's a lot of things going on, information, and a lot of movement, a lot of activity. The Bible says in Psalm 46, verse number 10, be still and know that I am God. You know, when you're in a trial, your greatest need is not to understand the whole situation or run around and try to figure things out. Sometimes your greatest need is just to be still and trust God. Be still and know that He is God. Be still. It shall come to pass. Your greatest need is not to understand and know the situation. Your greatest need and priority is to know Him. Sometimes we want to figure everything out and we want to wrap our brains around a situation, around a trial. Oftentimes the purpose of a trial is not seen in its cause, but in its results. And God does not want us to go back to the reason of the trial to find the purpose of the trial. Man, I got hurt. I got offended. And we go back to the cause of the trial and look for the purpose of the trial. When God said, hey, leave that there, move forward, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The purpose of the trial is not seen looking back at the cause of the trial, but in the results, and years after, and years after, you'll see, oh wow, God blessed me here, and you look back. That's the reason God blessed me. That's the reason of the trial right there. You don't go back to a death of a loved one and look for the purpose of the trial there, but you keep moving forward, not blaming God, not blaming anyone else. But you focus on Him and trust Him, and you'll see hindsight is 20/20, and you'll figure out, hey, man, God is true, and God is faithful, and God did come through for me. Amen. Boy, God will renew your strength as you wait on Him. Psalm 37, 34, wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. Psalm 27, 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. G. Campbell Morgan, a theologian 100 years ago, he wrote, waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. And he said, waiting for God means third, the ability to do nothing until the command is given. Did you catch? Hey, to be honest with you, my alarm clock started today. My alarm clock went off, woke up, pushed the snooze button 8 times. No, I didn't do that. Adam did, and I'm just kidding. But alarm clock, and then you check your calendar. You got your emails. You got a lot of things. Everything runs through this. And you got your social media. Your entertainment, it's right here. You know, your news, you know. But as much as I want to use this, you know, I can't use this forever because, well, of course, it's temporal. But it needs to be recharged. The battery runs out. I use this without plugging it back in for about, I think, this iPhone probably 35 hours. I don't know. And it says this is one of the best batteries that Apple ever produced. So I was like, okay. But still. Even if it's the best battery ever, the youngest, the newest ones, the battery is still going to run out, folks. And it still has to be plugged in and charged. It can't be running and running and a lot of applications and a lot of things and this and that and dings and buzz and email. And it's fine. It can do it. It's job. But if it doesn't
You know, if I don't plug this in and shut this off, it's not going to be effective. You know, your life, you can be the latest. You can be young. You can have the latest applications. You can have the latest, you know, programs there. And keep running and running and running. But if you don't plug in to the source of strength, you're going to run on empty. You're going to be depleted. You're going to be burned out. When was the last time that you plugged in to the source of power, which is God, and just took time to read the Bible and pray, spend time with Him? When was the last time? Is Christianity just a matter of, you know, routine, attending church? Let's learn the principle of waiting on the Lord and the promise of Him giving us strength. Oh, you want to reach your full potential? Here's the secret. The Bible says they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Some people are just on the sidelines now, kind of just, man, just, I'm tired. Hey, you don't have to be that way. You know, I got burned out. I got offended. I guess that could happen. That could happen to me. But, you know, you don't have to live like that. You know, how are you doing today? Fine. You laugh, you know, but it's a reality. You don't have to be that way. I don't have to be that way. And God wants to give you strength for the journey. They shall walk and not faint. Let's access that strength this morning. Let's plug in. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the principles of your word. Thank you, God, that we can have access to you and we can plug in and be renewed in our strength, in our minds. And I pray, Lord, that we would make a decision, Lord, to trust you in our day-to-day walk. And Lord, I don't know what your people are facing this morning. But I do pray that we would commit to you. I pray for those who are not yet saved, that they would trust you as their Savior. Oh God, I pray you bless us now. We love you in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's all stand up, please. And just a short invitation. If you need to talk to God and want to commit something, the altar is open and you would come and just pray. And let's all stand and heads bowed and eyes closed. And if you want to pray where you're at, you can go ahead. But let's take this moment to renew our relationship with God. Would you do that? The altar's open. Come and spend time in prayer. Wait on the Lord, and your strength will be renewed. Why don't you come? Altar's open. Would you do that? Would you do that this morning? Would you come? If you're not saved, come and be saved. Pastor.